Good morning. It is Thursday, October the 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's Thursday. Let's begin with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's in whom we live and move and have our being. Guys, it's today again, and it's another day to sow for awakening, to live for glory, the glory of God, the joy of the Lord. Our entry today is entitled, What Are We to Drink? The Journey from Grumbling to Prayer. Our text is Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. Here, now. The word of the Lord. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, What are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Then the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We've all heard and said the sayings, haven't we? It's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. At the same time, we always seem surprised at the next problem or challenge, like it was not supposed to happen. Yet, it always happens. Things break. Tires go flat. Bones get broken. The wine runs out. Marriages collapse. Cancer strikes. Heart is attacked. Job lost. Hard drive crashes. I remember as a kid riding out to the farm with my dad after a big rain. A rain in the midst of a drought is Christmas in July for a farmer. But Dad had to know exactly how much it rained in every rain gauge. Per usual, after about the third rain gauge check, we would get the truck stuck in the thick black buckshot mud. Dad and I would walk a mile through the mud to get a tractor to pull the truck out. And what do you know? We would get the tractor stuck and walk another mile back to get yet another tractor. But it rained, which was good news. And you see where this is going. I would learn lots of choice new vocabulary words on those outings. This is life. It's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. This is wilderness. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. A week ago, the problem was Pharaoh. 3 days ago, the Red Sea was the obstacle. Now they can't find water to drink. Then the miracle happens, and they find water. But there's a problem with the water. It was bitter and undrinkable. It's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, What are we to drink? Here's my question. These people knew how to cry out to the Lord. That's how they got out of Egypt. So why are they now grumbling at Moses? It brings us to wilderness lesson number one. While it's always easier to grumble at our leaders in the wilderness, the secret to success is crying out to God. Watch Moses. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Moses is starting to look more than a little Eagle Scout-ish here. Something tells me Moses knew a thing or two because he'd seen a thing or two. Here's what I love, though. Moses was not confident in himself, but in God. Even better, I have a sense that Moses had learned to become confident in himself in God. This is my early hypothesis on Moses I'd like to test with you as we move along on this journey. There is a progressive journey of maturity in the ways and means of God. We begin with a lack of self-confidence. We grow to master something and become self-confident. Still, the world has a way of beating the confidence out of us. Through the grace of our brokenness, we meet God and gain a whole new kind of confidence anchored in Him. People try to affirm us and we deflect. We say things like, "That was not me, it was all God." At this stage, it is a zero-sum game. Either God gets the glory or I do. So I give it to God. We know it is not a me and God thing, as though we were somehow partners. A lot of people want to believe this. I call it Braunschweiger theology. Think really nasty sausage in a paste form. They want to believe that God actually needs people to accomplish His will and is bereft without them. It's the sentiment behind those cute little poems that say things like, "God has no hands but our hands." The next phase of maturity is the God in me phase, where I know it's not me, but God in me doing the stuff. Here is where confidence in God flourishes. At this point, a willingness to descend into hiddenness will lead to the me in God phase, a sanctified confidence in ourselves, anchored not in ourselves, but in our union with God. This is rarefied air, and we see far too little of it. This is the place where He teaches us to stretch out our hand, only to find it is His hand stretching out beyond us. Finally, we come to the we in God phase, where we begin to find a kind of union with other people, wholly anchored in union with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what the terribly misunderstood word church actually means. It is the deep and abiding Trinitarian mystery of friendship. This is where the magic happens, where we participate in the answer to Jesus' prayer, quote, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." That's John 17:21. Where can we learn such things but in the wilderness, where the Holy Spirit transforms our grumbling and complaining into outcries of prayer, where God shows us a piece of wood and gives us the sense to throw it in the bitter water, where He makes it fit to drink? And then we get this ponderous word. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. Now, what could that be about? Keep walking. Let's pray our prayer for deliverance this morning. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. Thank you for the classroom of the wilderness. You are delivering me from seeing the wilderness as a place to escape to the very place where I'm learning to embrace you and depend on you, to the place where desperation for relief transforms into delight in your nearness. For starters today, I receive your deliverance from grumbling and into prayer. Thank you that you and your ways are the curriculum, and all I need to do is behold you. And as we behold you, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. Keep moving us further on and deeper in until our confidence is unshakable in you, in me, and then in me, in you. This is the true holiness, when I'm wholly yours and you are wholly mine. Here I am, Lord. All of this for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Our journal prompts today. What do you think of this progression of maturing faith? From God with me to God in me to me in God to we in God. Where else do you see it leading and moving? God through me? Then God through us? How do you understand yourself and where you are on this continuum? What might the next step or degree, the next step of transformation, the next degree of glory, what might that look like? Can you visualize it? We're going to sing here in just a minute. Number 88, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Fact, I'm just going to jump right into the hymn today. You ready? Love Divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that second rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. So, yeah, I just wanted to sing that. Just a brief comment here. You know, there's four kind of prepositions, I think, that capture what God does and is doing and is ever doing. This hymn, you see them throughout this hymn. This is one of the fight songs that Charles Wesley famously penned. Love divine, all loves excelling. I'd love it if you'd study it some and just look at the movement. It actually shows you the progression from these little prepositions. God is with us. Jesus is with us. He is for us. He is in us. And then he works through us. With, for, in, and through, changing us from one degree of glory to the next. It's a journey. It is a wilderness journey. And we're singing as we're going. The way is made by worship. And he's doing the heavy lifting, but our work is to believe, is to participate, is to lean not just in, but lean through. You remember that word about worship we talked about a couple of days ago? Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to just put a period on it today. Maybe let's just call it a comma, a pause. We've got to get in the day. We got to go out there. Because here's what happens when God is working through us. He's conveying to other people that he's with them. And as he's with them, he conveys to them that he's for them. And as people begin to believe that God is for them, they welcome him in to their heart. And then he's in them. And then he works through them. You see how this movement happens? It's all God. It's also all you. You have to be all in, with, for, in, through. Get your seeds now. See you on the field. I love you guys. Bye for now. For The Awakening, J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.